Okay, big coin flip today, John. One side of the coin, I work every day until the NBA playoffs are over. I follow the Lakers all the way without another day off.
Tails. John wins. Tails it is.
I tried.
I will go first. No advantage comes
none
with
at
that.
All. None at all.
All right, Mace, according to a report in the New York Times, at least 12 of Europe's most prestigious soccer clubs have agreed to form a breakaway league that would upend the structure, economics, and relationship that have bound global soccer for nearly a century. Essentially, the teams from England, Spain, and Italy, and these are all the big ones. These are Manchester United and Real Madrid. They would create their own competition and sell the TV rights for billions of dollars, and they would spread it among that small group of teams rather than entire leagues throughout the continent. Now, Chris Corman from USA Today has a prediction that this is a roadmap where college football is going. As you know, the NCAA is the most disliked sports governing body ever, and most college football decisions get made without their input now. But think about this for a second. Take 12 football programs that generate revenue.
Right.
Let's say
Notre Dame,
Alabama,
USC,
Clemson.
Alabama.
Here's the 12 I just picked off the top of my head.
Okay.
Alabama, Clemson, Notre Dame, USC, Oklahoma, Texas, LSU, Ohio State, Georgia, Florida, Michigan, and I put Oregon in there for Phil Knight because he has all that money.
Sure.
Those teams would all play each other once and keep all of the money for themselves. It would be like 6 bowl games every single weekend.
Yeah.
I think Corman is on to something. Why wouldn't that work?
Well, it would be to the detriment of the sport if you did it in college football.
Why?
It ruins every other program that they can't play with the big boys. Ultimately, then, you're basically saying mid-majors and other schools from the Pac-12 and
this doesn't mean that UCLA can't play Colorado. They would just keep going on with their normal world, but these guys would take all the big money for themselves.
But I would imagine that you would have a round robin within this super conference, right?
Right. There's 12 teams. You'd play 11 games. You'd play everybody, and then you have a playoff at the end.
Well, my initial thought is it's going to ruin soccer in Europe, and it would ruin college football here.
Why do you think it ruins soccer in Europe?
Because you're destroying a whole bunch of clubs. I mean, isn't the EPL, I mean, Tottenham and all those, Everton, Liverpool, FC, all those, they basically become irrelevant. All those teams and all those cities become irrelevant because they're not part of the Super Conference.
Yeah, I don't know if irrelevant's the right word. Just because they're not in the Super Conference doesn't mean they still can't play competitive fun games and still make money and televise them and sell tickets. It's just that this is Ali Frazier every week. That's why I think they're doing it. That's where the money is. It's what they do in boxing.
Now, is this a done deal? Is that officially what they're doing? Because they're fighting it, right?
Correct. And it's being debated. Everybody in Europe thinks what you think, that it's like the end of the world as we know it. But money normally talks, so we'll see how it goes.
All right, to you. All right. Jake Paul knocked out Ben Askren in the first round of their celebrity boxing fight on Saturday. It was on pay-per-view. It included performances, and I didn't see it, so I'm just using a description here. Performances by Justin Bieber, by Doja Cat, by the Black Keys, all leading up to, basically 4 hours leading up to, a fight that lasted less than one round. Here's what's interesting. It sold 1.5 million pay-per-view buys, which makes it one of the top 25 best-selling bouts of all time.
It cleared more than 75 million gross.
Yes.
That's what he claims. There's a lot of people disputing it.
Okay. If that is the case, let's assume that what is being reported is true. What does that mean for boxing, and should we expect to see more weird celebrity bouts like this?
Well, they're already happening. Mike Tyson's going to fight Evander Holyfield in a few months.
Evander.
Evander.
What, yeah. Yeah, that's what I meant to say.
You nicknamed Evandy.
Evandy.
But Michael, these box. I mean, anybody. I'm not gonna shout this down.
Michael, did you watch it?
No, I didn't watch it. If I'm gonna watch Jake Paul, I watched the first one because he fought my boy Nate Robinson. But if he's gonna fight someone,
Robinson.
There you go. And he needs to fight somebody because the guy he fought was looked like a like Ralph Crampton.
Yeah, well, but he's kind of a washed up MMA guy,
yeah, right?
Although, but Jake Paul is interesting to me. He's full of himself. He's obnoxious. I mean, I wouldn't mind having Jake Paul on the show.
I want to see him fight Conor McGregor next. Now, I'd pay for that. That'd be entertaining.
Yeah, I guess this is a function of when you've got whatever it is, 7 million or 10 million or 20 million or whatever it is following you on YouTube, they will follow you to a pay-per-view fight.
But is it better? Is it bigger than a real boxing match like Tyson Fury, Anthony Joshua coming up? Not even close.
Well, you tell me. What if you're
Are you going to pay for Tyson Holyfield?
Tyson Holyfield, yeah, I'd watch it because those guys
are like 60.
Yeah, I don't care.
But Michael, if you're like 18 or 25, if you're 18 to 25 years old, are you more likely to pay for the Joshua fight or the Jake Paul fight?
That's a great question. Jake Paul, 18 to 25, if you like boxing, fight Joshua. Fury will outgross anything.
And if you're just looking for fun.
Yeah, then you watch the other one.
Yeah, because I heard Greenberg talk today about his kid, Steve. Apparently, he's got a kid named Steve. Is that right?
Yeah, sounds right.
And he said that was the buzz of the weekend, that him and all his friends watched it. They couldn't be more excited for it. It's really interesting. I think there's a generational divide that exists there.
Yeah, probably.
Which is fascinating. All right, John, it's to you.
All right, we've talked a lot about non-fungible tokens, the NFTs. These are works of art, video clips, even tweets or news articles tied to a digital record or blockchain that allows the collector to prove ownership.
I am liking that you use the term blockchain.
Okay,
all right, good.
Now,
you're getting there.
This is a good, tough question for all you guys. Michael, too. The NBA has gotten into NFTs by creating a Top Shot market. That's what Mason bought over the weekend, which has more than 800,000 users. And already, it just started, and they already have 500 million in sales.
Whoa.
And that's just the NBA.
Yeah.
Other leagues would likely quadruple those numbers over the next few months, like when soccer and NFL and baseball. All right. So, meanwhile, in October of last year, October 2020, Americans legally bet an estimated $3 billion on sports for the first time in a single month. Sports betting revenue is up nationwide by 53% year to year to $237 million. In December alone, New Jersey set the national sports betting record for the fifth consecutive month.
Yep.
So I'm going to give you guys a choice. You can all have the profits from the NFT market for the next month, or you can have all the legal sports gambling profits for the next month. Which one are you taking? Mace, you first.
Well, do I get the NFTs afterwards?
Yes.
So I keep them?
Yes.
Okay, I'm going to take the NFTs over the sports gambling.
Michael, how about you? You want sports gambling profits for a month, or you want the NFTs for a month?
I don't believe in gambling, so I'll take the NFTs.
Lindsay, where are you at?
Like all NFTs ever?
Well, you get them for the month.
They're you get all right, sales I know, for a month.
But you mean like any NFTs or just sports NFTs?
Let's say sports.
Because yeah, if it's
just pick one.
Yeah, just it's a big question because there's one that sold for $69 million, but it's not a sports NFT.
Right. Yeah, since we're talking about sports betting, we'll say you get all the sports NFTs.
Okay, well, since there's only one that's like a legitimate giant company right now, I would probably go with sports betting.
Lindsay probably has the right answer. $3 billion in sports betting in a single month, down $500 million for the NFTs, but Lindsay, I would probably go with you and take the sports betting, but one thing we didn't think of, we could also lose money in sports betting. You know, we have to win. You know, the house doesn't always take home the cash. Like, we have to set odds. Like, if we made if we set some bad odds, we could take a bath. The NFT is, I guess, makes more conservative, a safer economic bet.
Yes.
Because you're getting something tangible. But those are two industries, by the way, that are going to drive sports consumership for the next 50 years.
Wow, you've come around on NFTs, huh?
I'm not going to buy them, but I don't gamble. I don't. Right. I'm not a sports gambler, so I'm not going to do either. But there's billions to be made on both of those fronts.
I'm going to gamble and chase after NFTs.
All right, it's to you.
Since 2015, live TV viewing among the 18 to 34 year old crowd is down 77%. Live TV viewing since 2015. According to Nielsen, the latest total audience report says that television, live television, is losing members of the 18 to 34 demo like crazy. In fact, they're watching basically an hour of live television per day. That's a 23% drop from a year ago. You would think it would be the opposite with COVID and the lockdown.
Right.
Now, this is a function of cord cutting, but it's beginning to affect live sports. Like, for example, NBC's Sunday Night Football this past season averaged only 2.4 million adults 18 to 34. That's down 21% from a year ago. Is live sports in trouble with the millennial and the Z generation crowd, the Generation Z crowd?
It's a weird question to answer because I think live sports is actually the best way to get to those people. But they're just not as fanatical about it as we were when we were that age. But I still think, like, for example, are you watching any TV shows that are on in primetime on NBC, CBS, ABC, or Fox?
The Sunday morning shows.
No, that's not primetime. Oh, I'm only asking you about, like, 8 p.m. to 11 p.m.
I guess if you count SNL as primetime, I would say yes.
Yeah, SNL runs at 11:30. So, I mean, lately, during the pandemic, they ran it live on the West Coast, but if you live on the East Coast, it comes on at 11:30.
Right, right. There's not a live television show that I watch.
The last water cooler show was, you know, well, I'll give you two of them. The last one that everybody was talking about the next day was Game of Thrones, and a year ago today, today was the debut of The Last Dance, the Michael Jordan show that everybody
watched.
Which was
unbelievable. Unbelievable.
But in terms of, like, a show today, there is no Seinfeld, there is no Friends. Like, for me and my friends, Curb is probably the closest thing. We all talk about Curb the day it's over. But TV is not as good as it used to be, and there's too many options out there.
Yeah, yeah. And younger demographics they're not as rabid as us guys are. I mean, there are definitely rabid fans out there, but a lesser percentage than there've been in previous generations. I think that's it.
I can do one more.
Okay, do one more.
Okay. This question comes from Michael Thompson.
That's right.
Okay.
Authorities in Texas say two people were killed when a Tesla with no one in the driver's seat crashed into a tree and burst into flames. The cause of the crash, which happened in Spring, Texas, near Houston, is under investigation. First responders had to use 30,000 gallons of water for over 4 hours to put out the fire as the Tesla's battery kept reigniting. Authorities tried to contact Tesla for advice on putting out the fire. It's not clear whether they ever got a response. Now, Mace, one of the men killed was in the front passenger seat of the car. All right, the other was in the back seat. They obviously activated the fully
automatic driver
thing. And automatic driving feature, and it malfunctioned. Now, you, Mace, have said several times you are all in on driverless cars.
Yes.
As soon as they put them in the market, you're getting in one. Does this story give you pause at all?
So I just did a little Googling. On average, there are 6 million car accidents in the U.S. every year, and over 37,000 Americans die in automobile crashes per year.
Okay.
You're citing one example of one car gone wrong.
Yeah.
I will take my chances with the computer.
Jeez.
You're getting in the driverless car.
Correct. Absolutely getting in the – and you guys can fight this all you want, but it's coming. Michael, your day will come when a driverless car picks you up at your fancy estate and brings you all the way downtown to do Laker games. That day is coming. You will be alive for it.
You believe in those robots, but you said you will not get on a pilotless plane.
A pilotless plane seems like somebody should be overseeing that.
What's the difference? You can get killed either way.
Right.
Yeah, but it seems like, well, they have autopilot, obviously.
Right.
Yeah.
They just,
But you still got to land a plane.
But you've said you'll get in a driverless car. What's the difference between a driverless car going 60 on the freeway and a plane going 500 miles an hour?
Yeah, I don't know. I feel better when that person up there is like a distinguished looking in a hat and with.
Well, you could have that with a chauffeur. You could have that with a chauffeur.
Yeah, you can. No, look, this is coming. I don't know about airplanes seem scary to me, but driverless cars are coming, and they're coming sooner than you guys think. I predict that within 5 years you will both be in driverless cars.
Not me.
Right. Only time will tell.
Not me.
Yes. All right, Fast Track presented by our friends at Puente Hills Toyota. Got a car that's just sitting around not being used? Bring it into Puente Hills Toyota today for an instant cash offer. Puente Hills Toyota is the house of yes. All right, coming up for you. Let's circle back to the big story of the day, which is that dramatic series the Dodgers and the Padres had over the weekend at Petco Park. Are you, as a Dodgers fan, concerned about the Padres in the race for this division title? 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-ESPN. You can tweet us at Venice Mace, M-A-S-E, or at L.A. Ireland. You can email the show, venicemace@gmail.com.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Oh,
where that came from.
Yeah, I don't know where that did happen. All right, so the Dodgers take 2 out of 3 from the Padres over the weekend. And it was a great series. I did not see the Friday game because I was in Mexico and we were not watching television. No television. Jorge, what are you laughing at? You know what I found out while I was there? I've taken I took Spanish in high school. I took it at Bowling Green State University. I've tried it on my own. Like, I went to Berlitz. I've tried it many different. You know what I found out? I hablo more than I thought.
Okay.
More than I thought.
Good, good.
I can get by a little bit.
Okay, bueno. Let's go talk Dodgers.
So the Dodgers, it was a John, the Friday night game was apparently just a five hour masterpiece.
Yeah, but it was like it didn't feel like it was too long. You know, it was like it was riveting. You never knew who was going to win. It was like a playoff game. You know, that's how baseball playoff games are. They're really long. They everybody takes a lot of pitches. There's a lot of pitching changes. It was great.
And extra innings, nothing beats extra innings in baseball. I've got the MLB package. When I see a game go to extra innings, I immediately go there because I think it's fascinating that you are immediately pitching with a runner in scoring position.
Yeah, I do too. Two guys who I really, really like last week were hate that. Tom Hofarth and our old buddy Phil Rosenthal. They both hate that put a runner on second thing. And I couldn't disagree more with them. It immediately gets my attention.
Yeah,
and I thought about when Corey Seager homered at the top of the 11th inning, it was a two-run homer because there was already a guy on second base. Yeah, I like it. Anything that brings more strategery, I'm in favor of.
Is that going to screw up the RBI record totals?
No, because it won't happen that often.
Yeah.
And by the way, the run is not earned for the pitcher.
So that was a solo homer for the pitcher.
Yeah. So
is that there to stay, Mace, from now on?
I think so.
Good.
I think it is first of all, it is limiting the length of games. Secondly, extra innings become absolutely must-see.
Do you
when
like
you hear
my,
a game as an extra, you want to see it?
You like my proposal of when the reliever comes in, he does not have to take warm-up pitches?
No, I don't.
Why? He's really warmed up in the bullpen for 20 minutes.
It's funny. I was thinking about this as I was watching the game yesterday, and I realized, you know, that's a commercial break. That's where they put commercials right before the pitching changes. So I think you're affecting revenue, television revenue, if you remove those spots and have a guy come right in. I don't know why that's something you're fixated on, Michael.
Michael, it's only seven pitches.
You're sitting there for 15 minutes while you're throwing seven pitches.
That's because you're running commercials. It's
seven,
a TV
you
timeout.
Three,
like
you
soccer.
Throw three pitches a minute.
Run the scroll on the bottom of the screen like in soccer.
Yeah.
Well, that's moving towards happening. Are you guys both in favor of a robot strike zone like me?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Makes sense.
The strike zone should be the same for everybody every time they step to the plate. Uh-huh. Nobody should ever say, oh, his strike zone is low, or he calls high strikes.
The home plate umpire in the Sunday Dodgers-Padres game had a strike zone just wider than a semi-truck.
So how would you see the strike? It would be like up on the board when it goes through?
Yeah, it's a box that's over home plate.
Well, I know that, but I mean the batter, how would he know it's a strike? Because the umpire wouldn't be calling it.
There would be an umpire back there, and it
beeps in his ear.
He's not calling the strike. He's announcing the strike.
Oh, okay.
So he's still there, and he's there to call a play at home plate and all that kind of stuff. But I think the days of human umpires calling balls and strikes, I think that's going to come to
you
an end.
You think the umpires would like that? Take a lot of pressure off of them?
You know, it's an interesting question. I think it probably
No, the umpires
would.
Don't want it. They're
the umpires
it.
Don't want it?
No, they don't want it.
They'll still be there.
Yeah, but it feels like they're taking responsibility away from them. They hate it. They hate the idea.
But they're really
bad basically at it. They're basically telling the umpires that we don't need you anymore.
Mm-hmm. But they are really bad at it.
You're right, but I'm just telling you
that's the thing I'm saying.
The umpires don't like it.
They've done that in tennis. They don't really need linesmen anymore.
Right.
That's true.
And the umpires have seen how that's gone.
Yeah, but it works in tennis. There's no more dispute. I miss the old arguing with John McEnroe about if it's in or out.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can't argue
be
it anymore.
Serious.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Chalk flew up.
I'll tell you what. I will say this, too. Mookie Betts is just a superstar.
Can you guys believe the Red Sox traded that dude?
They didn't want to pay him, right?
Right. But, I mean, that's what you work your whole life to get. Is a guy like that's Michael? That dude's a modern day Willie Mays. He does everything.
Yeah,
it'd be the equivalent of the Angels trading Mike Trout. The difference is, I've always argued, if the Angels can't get to the playoffs with Trout, they should consider trading him. The Red Sox were winning World Series with Betts, and they traded him anyway.
But the problem is, and this is, I'm not saying this is a problem for the Dodgers. But the problem may be for the Red Sox that he's a guy that you've got to give a $65 million signing bonus on a $365 million contract.
Cost of doing business, man.
Yeah, but not every team's got the wherewithal to do it. Dodgers do, obviously. They did it with Mookie. They signed him long-term. They did it with Trevor Bauer. They signed him to a great big short-term deal. So the Dodgers are willing to do it. They'll spend through the luxury tax, all that stuff. But not every team is willing to pay luxury tax. And that's, unfortunately, going to benefit some teams and not benefit others.
But aren't the Red Sox printing money up in the Northeast?
They're doing well. Actually, they're playing well too. Interestingly, they weren't expected of a good season, but they're off to a really good start. I'm sure they are wildly profitable, but nobody likes to pay luxury tax, Michael. That includes the NBA. People don't like to pay luxury tax.
Well, they will too if you're going to win a ring. I mean, the Warriors have done it. The Lakers have done it to a certain point. So some teams are willing to do it if you can get them to the finals.
But it's so punitive.
Yeah, the Dodgers have got such an advantage here. They've got such an advantage because on top of signing, Mookie Betts and Trevor Bauer, they have developed talent. I mean, you look at that roster, you look around that diamond, and you see, they picked up Max Muncy, developed him.
What are they going to do,
Zach
though, Mace?
Zach McKinstry came up through the farm system.
In 2 years, they got to give Seager $300. They got to give Bellinger $300. What are they going to do then?
Spend through the luxury tax.
Really? They're going to give both. They're going to pay both those guys.
I don't know that they will. There are other good shortstops on the market. I think it'll be interesting to see the way they play this because Scott Boras represents Corey Seager, and they're going to take him all the way to free agency without question, and he's going to get a gigantic deal. Whether or not the Dodgers are going to have decisions, Bellinger, Seager. Do you bring Kershaw back? How much do you bring him back at?
And when does Buehler's time come up?
Buehler, you've still got, I think, 2 or 3 years. Two or three years. Because you've got him for a total of 7 when all is said and done. But you've got to remember,
there's going to be some people coming off the books. Kershaw's coming off. Turner's coming off. Those two guys are going to age out. So there's going to be – they can keep this rolling for a long time.
Yeah, they are an absolute machine. All right, coming up next for you, John, she did it and then she didn't. Do you know what I'm talking about?
No.
Of course not. That's such an obtuse tease, but she's back. That's coming up next for you. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, so obviously Lakers tonight. We've got pregame for you coming up at 5:30 this afternoon with Spock and the Jock, Michael Thompson and Alan Sliwa. We got Sedano, LZ, and Cap coming up after us. I love social media. I enjoy the back and forth with the people, John. Michael's a big social media guy.
He's a big tweeter.
Funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, very good on Twitter.
Thank you, Mace.
So Chrissy Teigen last week quit Twitter. She said,
"No, she quit Twitter like 3 weeks ago."
Was it 3 weeks ago? She said,
yes.
"It's time for me to say goodbye. This no longer serves me as positively as it serves me negatively, and I think that's the right time to call something." So she quit Twitter. Now, over the weekend, she tweeted this. Turns out it feels terrible to silence yourself and also no longer enjoy belly chuckles randomly throughout the day and also lose like 2,000 friends at once. So Chrissy Teigen has her holdout lasted, Lindsay says, 3 weeks, and she is back. And I knew she would be back.
Chrissy Teigen reminds me in a lot of ways of you.
How?
You once said, and she strikes me as exactly the same way, if there is a spotlight, I want to be in it.
Uh-huh. Yeah. What's wrong with that?
Nothing, but yeah. You didn't quit social media. Chrissy Teigen did. She took herself out of the spotlight. Of course she's coming back.
It was hard to live without her insights on life, John. It was very hard for me to miss out on her insights and her daily thoughts. She is back. She couldn't stand it. And I think, we have this conversation all the time. I still believe she said she can't block out the hate. And that was her problem. I have developed over the years. Now, Michael, do you ever get mean tweets? Do you ever get tweets that upset you?
Mean tweets, yeah, but I just sort of roll my eyes and don't respond to the people who insult me or my family or something I said. So I just shrug it off to someone having a bad day.
Yeah, and that's what you got to do. You got to just say, "All right, you're coming after me. That's okay. I don't need to clap back on that." John is a big clap back guy, right? You like to clap back on things.
Not on Twitter.
Never on Twitter.
Never.
Do you ever get trolled?
All the time.
No. Do you ever actually respond to the trolls? Are you sure?
Well, there are some. Like I remember one time, I was going back and forth with somebody. And there was a discussion about how I was saying how no team has ever won the NBA. You know, when the Warriors and the Cavs were going at it, I said no team has ever won four straight NBA titles since
right.
the Celtics of the 60s. And some guy came back at me with, "Ireland, you're an idiot. I can't believe you work for the Lakers. The Lakers won four straight titles with Kobe and Shaq in 2000. You're a moron." And I came back with him. I said, "The Spurs won in 03. How could you screw that up on Twitter?" And people just killed this guy.
Yeah, yeah.
Murdered him.
Yeah.
And but that's about as mean as I would get.
Yeah, I mean, you got to slough that stuff off, man. I mean, I understand Chrissy Teigen is sensitive and all that stuff, but, I mean, she's been out there long enough, and she obviously can't stand to not be talked about. So she's going to stay on Twitter. And I think she left Twitter for attention. Right? Yeah. If you
Probably.
Leave Twitter, just leave Twitter. You don't leave Twitter and then send out a press release and say, "I'm leaving Twitter. That's it. I can't take it. The hate anymore. I'm out." She did it for attention, and she's coming back for attention.
So I noticed, kind of on this subject, Shannon Sharp and Kevin Durant got into a Twitter fight last week.
Oh, okay. Good.
It was a dispute that ended with Sharp blocking Durant from his account. He blocked Kevin Durant.
Okay.
Which seems weird to me. Twitter is a format that promotes debate.
Right.
So it would seem weird that you would block someone that you're having a debate with. But I actually do block people on Twitter if they send me because, you know, I have a teenager in the house, and for that reason, if they're sending me, you know, every other word is an F word, if they're sending me porn, you know, they're sending me, like, naked pictures of
Wait,
people that are...
people are sending you naked pictures and porn on
all the time. Like, you don't have naked pictures come up? Do you use TweetDeck?
Wait a minute. You have naked pictures come up on Twitter?
I and whenever they do, I block the guy.
Yeah, but who sends naked pictures on Twitter? I've never in my life seen a naked picture on Twitter. Never.
Well, they're out there. They're
boy,
out there,
are you living in the G-rated? You're reading. I'd love to see your followers.
Wait a minute, Jorge, you see naked pictures on Twitter
all the time?
Come on, man. Where
never.
You been?
And my DMs are open. I don't get naked pictures on my DMs.
Well, maybe it's because you're gay. Most of the pictures I get are of naked women, and then I end up blocking them because I don't want my son scrolling through my thing seeing naked women.
Nobody ever responds to me like that, Ireland. What kind of people?
I just
want to
say that in order for you to like get those kind of DMs, it's got to be bots.
They're not DMs.
He's getting them in his regular feed. Yeah. He says he's getting naked pictures.
Yeah, no, because to encourage that, Ireland. What are you doing?
No, I follow too many people. I follow like 1,000 people. But so if one of these people turns into...
Wow. So what you want is John Ireland's feed.
Apparently.
He's getting naked pictures
you've
on
never
Twitter.
Got, you've never gotten naked pictures on your
Not
Instagram account.
In
or in
my
your,
life.
Are
wow.
You, are you Instagramming with Instagram models, Ireland?
No, I don't. I'm not on Instagram, Michael.
Or tweeting.
I know the only reason you're on Instagram is to see what NBA players are dating Instagram.
You don't have to go on there to see that.
Yeah, but I'm not on. No, Mason's a big Instagram guy. I have an Instagram account. I don't think I've visited it in over a year.
I thought you couldn't send nude stuff through Twitter. I thought they would censor that kind of stuff.
No. They can send you
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
They want.
I challenge you on this. I do not believe you've ever gotten a naked picture on Twitter.
Okay.
Never. How have I never seen a naked picture on Twitter?
Are you kidding?
Never.
Yeah, I didn't know they. I didn't know they could
do that. I haven't either, Mason. Yeah. I've never seen a naked picture on Twitter. I feel like
Michael,
pretty good
have you?
No,
that.
That's what I'm saying.
No, I think you're alone on this, John.
Well, I mean, I don't hang around and get them anymore. But people send X-rated stuff on Twitter all the time.
Because I don't block anybody. Mm. I just don't see any point to. I actually the trolls I think are entertaining. I don't respond to them necessarily.
They are, as long as they don't curse. You know, when they start swearing, that's when you say, okay.
That's when it's not cool. All right, so John's Twitter feed apparently is really, really surprising.
Well, not anymore. I just block them.
Yeah, but I mean, there's
pretty lit. Sounds pretty lit.
After you stare at him for a while.
Sounds pretty lit.
Well, you know, it came up. I had to look.
Yeah.
Research.
Research and stuff.
All right, coming up next for you is Radio Tinder. Linz is going to throw a bunch of stuff at us. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN. Go, it is Radio Tinder time. Linz, what do you got for us?
All right, guys. Julian Edelman announced his retirement from the NFL after 11 seasons last week. He finished his career with 6,822 yards on 620 receptions with 36 touchdowns, 3 Super Bowl rings, and a Super Bowl MVP award. And then last week, veteran NFL running back LeSean McCoy was asked by Yahoo Sports if he thinks Edelman is a Hall of Famer. And his response, quote, "No, come on, man," chuckled a little and said, "You have 16 weeks to showcase who you are and what you can do each year. The playoffs matter, but a lot of guys don't get a chance to play in the playoffs." I guess he was saying that most of Julian Edelman's accolades and accomplishments came in the playoffs.
Yes.
However, McCoy cited his own postseason accomplishments in regards to his own Hall of Fame chances and said he thinks he has a shot at it. In regards to both players, do you agree with LeSean McCoy? Swipe left or swipe right?
Julian Edelman's a great player. He is not a Hall of Famer. I completely agree with LeSean McCoy. Swipe right. You can't just let anybody into the Hall of Famer. It's just the Hall of Good.
Yeah,
Julian Edelman's not a Hall of Famer.
Did you say 36 career touchdowns? Yeah, 36 career touchdowns. No. No, he's
36 career touchdowns receiving.
Receiving in the regular season. Yeah, no, yep. He's not a Hall of Famer. I don't even think he's a fringe Hall of Famer.
What about LeSean McCoy? Do you think he's a Hall of Famer?
Nah.
No.
Oh.
You know, Michael, that's one thing. The Basketball Hall of Fame lets too many people in.
Well, basketball encompasses not just the NBA, but your college career, too.
Don't you think they let too many people in?
No, because the guys they've let in so far, I really haven't had an objection to. I can't think of anyone saying he doesn't.
Isn't Bill Laimbeer in the Hall of Fame?
No, he's not in there yet, but maybe he should be. He was an iconic type of player, man. The Bad Boys, that whole team was special.
But Bill Laimbeer was a good player.
Yeah, not in the Hall of Fame.
There's a whole bunch of good players in the Hall of Fame, New Ireland. Not everybody's great.
Yeah, but if you want to have a Hall of Fame that represents the greatest players ever, baseball's the hardest to get into. That's the hardest Hall of Fame
to get into.
Because
you just save great for the obvious greats, but guys like Chris Mullin and, you know, those are good players, not great players, but they're in a Hall.
Right, but what I'm saying is if you let Julian Edelman and LaShawn McCoy into the Hall of Fame, you become the basketball
Hall of
Fame. Yeah,
not them. No, not those two.
Yeah,
not at all. All right, Lynch.
All right, next one here. All right, Facebook is moving more aggressively into audio products, trying to compete with rivals like Twitter and the popular upstart Clubhouse. The social network on Monday is building a series of new audio-focused products, including virtual rooms where users can host live discussions. Kind of sounds like Zoom to me. And a feature called Soundbites that let users post short audio snippets to their feed like they would a photo or video. Facebook will also create a podcasting feature where users can download and listen to podcasts directly from the main app, which will give the company a chance to compete with players like Apple. Do you think Facebook is too late to the audio medium party? Swipe left or swipe right?
No, I don't think they're too late, but it'll be interesting to see what is the next audio thing that takes off.
Like, I've been on Clubhouse. I got invited into the Clubhouse, and I thought it was just a colossal waste of time. I'm just listening to random people talking.
Yeah, I don't get what all the big fuss is about Clubhouse. Like, is it just cool because people say that you have to have an invitation?
Well, you need a hook. Like Mason and Michael and I are on the advisory board for this company called Ghostcast.
Yes.
And it basically, it's a good idea. It basically would let you and all your friends watch, like, let's say you want to watch the Dodger game all at the same time, and you guys want to broadcast it. You just want to do it. It allows you and all your friends to record a record of what you said during the game. That, to me, has a chance because it's a little bit unique. It's a little bit different. If you're just saying we're going to allow audio on our platform without a plan like that, I'm not sure, Mace, where the hook is.
Yeah, I mean, I don't put anything by Facebook because they are such a huge, diverse company. But I think the podcast business is pretty much locked up by iTunes and Spotify. I can't imagine that Facebook is going to take a run at those two guys. I mean, if you don't have a podcast on those two, you just don't have a podcast. So I don't believe Facebook. I think they're too late in that race. As the audio thing, I'm confused about what it is. So I say use Ghostcast instead because I'm on the advisory board.
Well, one thing I think is interesting about podcasts and audio in general is it's so hard to share it. So I feel like if they're going to make an easy way, at least on like Facebook feeds, to share audio, because that's something that not even Twitter does. Like, there's no good way to share a clip of a podcast. You know what I mean? Everyone does like they do the stills in the background with like the little waveform, and then they play the audio clip because it's actually a video. There's no good way to share audio clips with people. So
yeah,
hopefully that part of it works out.
You better have that, and you better have the ability to archive. So for example, that's one of the things that, like, Lindsay, if you and I went on Ghostcast and we watched the Academy Awards and we did something really funny, and we wanted to share it 2 days later with somebody, they have an archiving feature which will allow people to do. That's how things can go viral. If there's a digital record of them. So I think that's part of it, too.
Exactly. It's like if there's no video, it's so hard to share audio from podcasts.
Right.
Anyway, next one here. Crossley Green spent more than 30 years behind bars for a crime he says he didn't commit. And after years of fighting the legal system, his conviction was overturned and he was finally released on April 7th. On his first full day of freedom, Green's attorneys decided to treat Green with a food he'd been craving for years. Wasn't a steak, wasn't lobster, it was ice cream. Strawberry ice cream, he said he had been waiting for it for so long. Mm. You were imprisoned for 30 years. What's the first thing that you'd want to eat when you were free?
That's a good question.
Wow.
For me, It would be, I think this has become my favorite food, is eggplant parmesan. I love eggplant parmesan. My mom makes a really good one. Some restaurants around here make good. I love eggplant parmesan. That would probably, that's a weird choice, but that would probably be the first thing.
Yeah, mine.
That and Puerto Yesca. I don't know if that if
yeah,
that
you'd have trouble getting weed in prison.
Actually, I hear you. It's probably not as tough as
they're
we
not
think.
As tough.
Puerto Yesca!
Yeah, mine. Mine would probably be more like the food that popped into my head was pork chops, but I would also like you're I'm not getting any whiskey in prison, am I? I'm not getting any.
Oh yeah, that's a good point.
You know, so I would probably ask for a bottle of something.
Peas and rice, grill grouper, Bahamian coleslaw, and a bottle of Veuve Clicquot.
You would pick that over Camus.
Yeah, I like Veuve. And I like them both, but Veuve Clicquot, nice ice cold chill slushy champagne. Oh.
I bet a margarita would be good, fresh out of prison.
Margarita. I drank a lot of margaritas in Mexico.
Margarita.
No Puerto Yesca in Mexico.
Why not? You're scared of that one?
I'm scared of that one. I don't want to wind up in a Mexican prison, so no Puerto Yesca. But a lot of tequila.
Oh, good, good.
I started with the top shelf, and I worked my way
have
down.
Have you tried Genie's tequila yet?
Who's? Oh, I have not tried Genie's tequila.
I have. It's good.
Cincoro.
Is it good?
Yeah.
I hear Cincoro. The rocks is really good.
Cincoro.
Cincoro.
Yeah.
Have you had some Jorge?
No, I haven't yet.
You know, Mace, the other tequila that's good is Bryan Cranston's tequila. What's the name of that company?
That's a mezcal. That mezcal, is yeah.
Dos Amigos?
Dos Hombres. Dos Amigos.
Dos Hombres. Hombres. Yeah, Dos Hombres.
Yeah, very good.
Very good. All right, Lynch?
I got one more here. The great-grandchildren of Guccio Gucci are appealing to filmmaker Ridley Scott to respect their family's legacy in a new film that focuses on them. The House of Gucci, starring Lady Gaga and Adam Driver, which can't wait to see this. It's based on a book about the 1995 murder for hire of one of Gucci's grandchildren, Maurizio, and the subsequent trial and conviction of his ex-wife. One of Maurizio's second cousins, Patrizia, these names are all very hard for me to pronounce, Patrizia Gucci, is worried that the film goes beyond the headline-grabbing true crime story and pries into the private lives too much. She said, "We're truly disappointed. I speak on behalf of the family. They're stealing the identity of a family to make a profit, to increase the income of the Hollywood system. Our family has an identity and privacy, and there's a borderline that can't be crossed." She's also apparently really upset about the casting of the film. In particular, she's not happy with Al Pacino. She said, "My grandfather was a very handsome man, like all the Guccis, very tall, blue eyes, and very elegant. He's being played by Al Pacino, who is not very tall already, and he's fat, short, with sideburns, really ugly. Shameful, because he doesn't resemble him at all. Should the Gucci family have any say in the casting of a movie about their family? Swipe left or swipe right?"
They probably should, but there is, Mace, there's nothing that says they get to. They're public figures.
Yeah, they're public figures. The story is public. You don't actually need to acquire life rights. And, you know, look at The Crown. The royal family hasn't signed off on any of that stuff, and they apparently just hate the thing.
Yeah.
But they've turned it into a story. So the Gucci people have no control over this. They're going to have to live with Al Pacino.
By the way, Michael, are you going to be in the new HBO series about the Showtime Lakers? Have they hired someone to play Michael Thompson?
No, I'm not. But when they do a story of my life, I want them to hire Rick Fox, not Kevin Hart. So, yes, it is. That does matter.
Yeah, Kevin Hart as Michael Thompson.
So, yeah,
I've
already been in the contract that Rick Fox will portray me.
Yes. All right. Good. Good. All right, there you have it. There is your Radio Tinder coming up next for you. Big story of the day, the Dodgers taking two out of three from the Padres. Yesterday, that game got away from them. The bullpen blew that game. It was Santana and Brewster Graterol out of the pen. Gave up that 2-0 lead, and they wind up losing that game 5-2. But overall, just spectacular regular season baseball, a phrase that you rarely hear used. Spectacular regular season baseball.
Yeah, it was unbelievable. And I have a question for an NBA question for Michael, too.
Okay, cool. That's coming up for you. Then at 3:15, Dylan Hernandez is going to join us. He's a Dodgers doubter. He thinks the Padres might be the best team in the division.
Okay.
We'll talk to Dylan Hernandez from the LA Times in 15 minutes. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.